Blog Talk Radio.
From experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives them. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my heart, man.
Once again, welcome everyone to the show. Welcome. Yours truly, Mr. Naz. And we had a little technical difficulty earlier, but we are all good. Brother Darryl.
Yes, sir.
All right. Once again, this is season two. We are honored. We are happy. We are proud. We're just excited right now, you know. So, once again, let's go to the roll call, Brother Darryl. First of all, introducing the one and only Big Darryl. We call him Mr. Darryl Harrington. What's going on, brother?
Brother, everything is great. Season two. I'm excited. I can't wait. Been waiting for this now for like Like, after you have, like, a week off, that's fine. After the second week, you're a little fancy. Third week, okay. let's get in. I'm ready. Let's do this. I'm ready.
Oh, no doubt. Definitely. I think we have our brother holding it down from the lovely state of Virginia, the one and only brother Edward L. Farrelly. What's going on, bro?
Man, what's going on, fellas? I miss y'all. I miss y'all,
man. Oh,
man,
miss you too, man. Just, we've been grinding, brother, once again. You know how we get down, brother.
Man, I thought I was grinding until the last few weeks, man. Man, I've been grinding. I got a lot of new projects and stuff going on, and just doing a lot of stuff in the community, which is great. But it's like God cut my head off 3 weeks ago, literally cut my head off
okay.
and poured an idea about the increasing your relationship by
you
the board game. Hello?
You.
Yeah.
You.
Nah, I was saying it.
Okay.
I'm here.
Brother
you know,
Eddie,
I was saying
it's like, down.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I was saying it's like God cut my head open and just poured the way that the board game and instructions on how to play for the increasing your relationship IQ board game into me. So I've been working on a prototype and everything for that. And, of course, with the kids last week, I mean, this whole break was perfect in timing because last week I wasn't even here. I wouldn't have been able to be on the show. We took the boys that I mentor to West Virginia in the mountains, and we did camping for 3 days. We just been busy, man. It's been a great few weeks, but at the same time, I've kind of been going through withdrawals and like, I'm supposed to be doing a show today. I'm glad to be back. That's all I can say. Glad to be back.
Amen. We are all glad to be back today. Is that something I'm on?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in the building. I'm in the building. What's up, fellas?
This part is getting started.
Yeah, I'm here. Good to hear from everybody. Brother Ed, good to hear from you, man. Brother Big Dow, my man, Fully Grand, Nash, you know what it is. I'm here. I know. I'm like the ghost in the passing, but I'm here. Yeah, life is good, man, you know. I'm just a hardworking guy. I have a whole lot of things going on. You know, this is a good topic to bring up, you know, talking about school and being, you know, a good parent and education. So I was all in, you know. I'm definitely in for this. I might even have a special guest myself. I'm going to see if my daughter wants to chime in. She's a Penn State graduate, so she can give her assessment of how she feels about education, too. So let's make it do what it do.
That's what's up. That is great. Tonight's topic is about education. We as black men need to be more vocal. We need to be more present in our children's lives and in their education. One of the saddest things that I've noticed over the last couple of years is having been associated with the PTA, having been even an officer in the PTA, and looking around for the parents, not just like males, females, any parents whatsoever. The number of parent turnout is scarce. And then when you look at the number of brothers, it's pathetic. It's like me and maybe one other brother in a school that has about 800, 900 kids.
Mm.
There's no saying that you're supposed to have two brothers out of 900 pots of parents. That's just not even realistic. But there are places in the place I'm referring to is Orange, New Jersey. A brother by the name of Matthew Stevens has come up with this comprehensive plan. This is like year two of this portion of the plan. He has been an innovator. He is an author. He is a youth advocate. He's an educator. He's coming on tonight to say what it is that his and his colleagues have come up with in order to try to help us to be more omnipresent in our children's life. We also have Superintendent Lee of the Orange Board of Education also invited to chime in on this evening, also the Reverend William Rutherford Jr. of the Ebenezer Baptist Church of Orange, New Jersey, also ready to chime in. We also have our brother DeLacy Davis also going to be online tonight. I don't know if DeLacy's on now or...
Me or brothers, peace to the family.
It's like Christmas morning, man. You know what I mean?
Let me say to you, brothers, I'm performing in Atlantic City this evening. I got down here 3 hours early so that I could be set up, sound checked, and then come outside in the car to do this radio interview with you. So I'm here.
Man. That's how you start a season two.
Brother, we're coming at it with all the heavy hitters. So we're going to do a quick musical interlude for 5 minutes. Make sure everybody's on deck, everybody's lined up. The Man Up crew is here. We are all here, president accounted for, ready to go. Season two, y'all got everybody. I hope y'all realize if you got everybody, you got everybody. We can stop the show with just everybody. Right? So suffice it to say, we got a musical interview. We're going to take 2 seconds when we come back.
Yeah, we're back online. All right. I believe, once again, I just want to give a little introduction. I want to say, first of all, before we go any further, Daryl, I think there's something we need to say to, there's a listener checking us out right now. Somebody asked us, what is the Man Up Talk Show and what is the Man Up Movement? Do you want to explain that? We've been asked that, Brother David. Somebody challenged us. Why else is men getting together? Why now?
Okay. Now, I'm going to paraphrase it for the individual, which I don't even want to even give this amount of attention to. I never try to give attention to ignorance normally. But I think a lot of people might have the question, so I'm going to give you an answer. The question was, or the statement was, that manning up and talking do not go in the same equation. That was the basic general synopsis of what people will say, that men talk too much and don't do anything. Now, this comes from another man, which I find that to be so disturbing, it is ridiculous, that, one, I don't think that we talk enough to a certain extent. I think that we have been unbelievably, dreadfully, shamefully quiet, silent for now a couple of decades, to be honest with you. We have been subservient. We have taken the back seat. We have taken the fight has been taken out of us. The Dr. Kings, the Malcolm X's, the Huey P. Newtons, the Stokely Carmichaels. Those brothers have either gone into the lapse of time and they're forever fresh in our minds from things that have happened now 40 years ago. Currently, where are these modern-day warriors who do exist today, who stand on the battlefield today for your liberties and my liberties alike, for us to be able to continue to move on and to continue to advance? I'll tell you where they are. They're talking on the radio right now. We each, in our own ways, in our own areas, deal with brothers of our own age, brothers who may be a little older, and especially the younger brothers who are coming up. We deal with these types of situations every day. We're mentors. We are advocates. We are champions for those who don't have a voice. And sometimes we need to come together and give information out, like the brother that I'm about to introduce to y'all now, so we can come together, we can galvanize, and we can make the most out of the situations we are presented with. Sometimes if you don't say anything, you don't know. It's that old adage, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody was there to hear it, did it actually fall? We need to be omnipresent. We need to be seen as well as heard. I do believe that talking just for talking's sake and just to be able to hear somebody audibly is definitely not enough. It doesn't even relate. But when the words are met with equal, if not an amount more of an action than there is just verbiage, then that's when there's something to be said. I can say something for each and every man that is on deck tonight and a few more that have graced us with their time, with their presence, is that they are dedicated, men and women who dedicate their time to this show, are dedicated to the advancement of not just our people, but all people. So that's all that I have to say about that in particular subject. My brother, I hope that I have been able to enlighten you to exactly what the Man Up Talk Show is, what the Man Up Movement is. It's about action. So there you have it. Naz, if you want to, by all means, but before we're done, make sure Eddie says something. Thank you.
No, I couldn't forget my brother Eddie. No, you know, brother Eddie, my apologies, but we made a promise to kind of establish. People's asking us why now, what motivates us to become the Man Up Movement or the Man Up Talk Show. We just want to be part of the solution, you know, and be more proactive and taking action right now. So we're very excited, and we're hungry right now. You know, I think I took a little bit from Brother Davis, Brother Lance Davis, when he said, you know, let's be men of action. Let's stop making us be accountable. So I'm running
That's
with
right.
it. So I'm definitely
That's
excited.
Right.
I'm looking going forward. And, you know, whatever it takes for our brothers to get together to be a voice to show that black men can be a front of the line. They can be, instead of being behind the line, stop talking about it, being in there. You know, we're not talking about it no more. We're just ready, and I'm excited. I'm ready to go. But enough of that being said, Darryl, let's introduce these guests we got going on tonight, brother.
All right. Let's get the party started. First and foremost, I would like to introduce a brother who is a father. He is an advocate. He is an educator for the city of Orange Township and its Orange Board of Education, Mr. Matthew Stevens. Matthew, are you on deck, sir?
Yes. Hey, brothers. How y'all doing, man? I know a couple of y'all. I know Glacey, Brother Haas, Black. Good to meet all of y'all that I haven't met. And Darryl, thanks so much for inviting us to participate in this forum, man. I'm really looking forward to the school year and doing some projects here in Orange, New Jersey, and hope that some of the other sister cities, as well as cities all across the country, can follow our lead, and we can follow their lead to try to get men more actively involved in the education of their children. So I'm looking forward to telling you guys a little bit about what we're doing and inviting you out to some of the stuff that we got going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Matt, guys are doing that is so exciting. And of course, I just want to talk about the Brotherhood program. No, that Rich Miller would have been on tonight. He had a previous engagement. That will come through at some other time. But let's talk about the dads walking their children to school. Let's talk more about it.
Okay, great. Well, can everybody hear me? Because a little feedback on the line.
Yes. Brothers, can we all hear?
I can hear you, man.
You were breaking up, though, Darryl. You were breaking up a little bit, but it's clear now. Okay,
you
great.
Hear me now?
All right. Yeah, I can hear you, Darryl.
Okay.
All right, brothers. Well, the activity that we have, it's the project is where we're asking fathers to walk their children to school on the first day, but it has a formal name, and the formal name is the Million Father March. The Million Father March is a project that's a national project that was designed by a brother named Philip Jackson. To the best of my knowledge, Philip Jackson, out of Chicago, Illinois, and through a organization called the Black Star Project. I was introduced to the project by another brother named David Miller out of Baltimore, Maryland. He runs a thing called the Urban Leadership Institute. So he introduced me to this brother, Philip Jackson, and then I went on their website. And I would encourage all of you, if you haven't heard of the Black Star Project, to go on his website, because he provides a phenomenal example of what can be done in a city. As you know, Chicago is on fire with a lot of the killings and so forth that is going on. But this brother, Philip Jackson, has been leading the charge for at least the last 20 years, and he's a phenomenal brother and doing some good work. but the Million Father March is designed to just simply ask men to walk children to school on the first day, and when they get there, they give an opportunity to meet the principal, meet the teachers, and just let everybody in the school know that their child, in fact, has a father, and that we all know that when the teacher as well as the principal are able to contact the father, it definitely makes a difference. And so we've been doing the project now. This will be our second year doing it. We were extremely blessed last year to have our superintendent, Mr. Lee, who won't be able to make it tonight. He asked me to step in. He put all of the resources of the district in my control so that we can kind of get this done. And, brothers, we were blessed last year to have 600 fathers show up on the first day of school. And so if you could imagine with me what it looks like to have 600 men at anything at one time, that is a very powerful, powerful statement. And it was really simple. We just took out an ad in the newspaper. Then we had each principal, Orange has seven elementary schools. Each principal just called home and asked the fathers to come out, and they came out in force. We give them a T-shirt that says Calling All Men, because that's our campaign name. And then we just invite them back to a number of different activities. And so I'll kind of open up for any questions as it will relate to the Million Father March or our Calling All Men campaign. But the Walk to School is really just the first thing. And I'd like to kind of, as we move on, talk about at least two to three other things that we're doing that we feel are innovative. But before I open for questions, this year our goal is to increase that number by 50%. So we're looking to have about 900 to 1,000 men actively involved in the activity just in Orange, New Jersey. I hooked up with a good brother, Councilman Ted Green, and East Orange, my man, he has done the same thing in East Orange. So at Elmwood Elementary School, where he's the councilman, they have they're going to have the same thing at Elmwood, and then you know once East Orange gets up on board, then we'll get the other schools. I'm actually from East Orange, but I'm actually working in Orange, New Jersey. So. Like I said, brothers, I have three things that I'm doing that I'm really, really excited about. But I just wanted to kind of open up, any brothers have any questions about the Million Father March or what we're doing in Orange, kind of wanted to open up now for any questions, comments, concerns that you might have.
Okay. I'm going to start with the question, me, Big D, again. The question is that how do fathers – if they want to help volunteer on the 9th, let's also put out there that the first day of school is September 9th, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So first day of school is Monday, September 9th. And what do we have to do if we want to help participate or make sure that this event goes over smoothly? What and who do we need to get in contact with in order to make this a more fruitful event than it was last year, even though last year was a phenomenal success?
Well, there are three things, brother. The number one thing is word of mouth. Brothers come out to events when other brothers kind of challenge them, or at least challenge might be the wrong word, at least mention it to them. So if we're asking all brothers that are coming, to when they're at the barbershop, when they're at the NFL football games, when they're just chilling or at work or wherever they're at, you know, mention to other brothers, hey man, listen, I'm taking my little girl to school for this first day activity. Are you taking your child? Are you taking your nephew? Are you taking your niece? And because the word of mouth will do us way better than any Facebook, internet, flyer, the word of mouth. When one brother tells another brother, hey, I'm doing this, are you going to do it as well? Or even kind of says, hey, you should be doing something like this. that really kind of engages them to get involved. The second thing that we look for brothers to do as regards to volunteering and helping is to come out. I'm not sure if Brother Rutherford is on the line or not, but his church has been phenomenal, man. Every time we go by, I was just there the other night, last night actually. We're doing a thing called the Boys to Young Men Christian Retreat, where we're going to be actually helping the church develop some rites of passage programs to get boys involved in the church. But Reverend Rutherford, his group says, hey, listen, we're going to take Park Avenue School, and we're going to adopt that school. So in your men's ministries, have the men's ministry come out and just meet the brothers. So when the brothers do come out, we, like I said, we give them T-shirts. What the men's ministry can do is they can just distribute the T-shirt, welcome the brother, have a cup of coffee with them, and then, you know, provide that type of fellowship for the morning activity. And
right.
So then the last thing is sign up. Sign up for the programs that we have. I'll stop, but I want to talk a little bit about the programs so it, to make sure I answered your question and to ask, be able to answer anybody else's question.
Absolutely. Brother, anybody have any questions?
Any questions?
Go ahead. Someone was speaking.
No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
You were speaking. This is Brother Edward L. Fairley. You were speaking about a mentoring program, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
May I ask, what is it that you all have that you all do that? Because mentoring is such a broad statement. What is it that you all do to show the measurement of change from when the young man is added to your mentoring program to wherever? What are you all doing to measure growth and to prove that your mentoring program is actually making a change or impacting the lives of the young man going through your the program?
Well, in this particular mentor program with the church, the focus is really on helping them to develop a young men's ministry. And so what the pastor is doing is helping them to be able to understand and memorize scripture, to be able to engage in positive behaviors within the church, in their homes, and in the community, and things of that nature. And so there are approximately, they're looking at, and we haven't started that program yet. That program starts September the 21st. But we're doing a series of pre and post tests to kind of get an indication of what we, the young men, what we knew before. And then we have a series of different activities that we line up to get us to kind of point B. And so at the end of this, I'll share my email address, and I'll send you the template, you know, on what we're doing. And I'd encourage you to send me what it is that you're doing, because you might be doing something in your town that I might be doing, and I didn't think about that. And then I can
kind of plug in,
and vice versa, you can do the same thing. One of the great programs that we use at the school is a software called Linkit. If you get a chance tonight when we get off the line, check this software out. It's Linkit.com by a brother named Reginald Poe. It's one of the leading academic measurement tools that we use to kind of get an indication of pre-assessment and post-assessment learning. So I hope that answered your question.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Our brothers, the other thing I wanted to kind of say is that what we're going to be doing a little different in Orange is we're not asking the brothers or the fathers to join the PTA because as it is as the PTA is structured, it's really structured and it's run by women, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the way that the women in general, not specific, not every woman, but the way women in general interact is just different, not better or worse, but just different than the way men interact. And so we're not even asking men to come to PTA meetings. If they do, that's a blessing. But what we're doing is we're doing a series of activities where we're engaging them in actual activity. Usually at the PTA meetings, what happens is that you come, you sit, you listen, and then you stay there for an hour until the 5 minutes you get with the teacher about your child. If you're the first, if your name starts with an A, you're good. If your name starts with an F like mine, you got to sit through almost everybody else, and then you only get 2 minutes. You only get 2 minutes with your child, and the first PTA meeting, you can have the most dedicated father on the planet. He's not coming back. So we're not even asking the fathers to do that. We're doing a series of programs that start out with a thing called the Fathers Reading Club. And what we do here, we have a special relationship that we've garnered with Barnes & Noble Bookstore where they provide free books to the school, and then we distribute these books to fathers so that the fathers can build their home learning centers. And they can have a lot. Each of them can have at least 25 books that from Barnes & Noble, and that we ask them to read at a minimum 25 books a year with their child. We also then open up the school for the 600 men that came last year. 300 of them came in on the last Friday of each month. We have the Father's Reading Club that we host at the school. And so dads come to school on Friday, and they read with their children in the class. And that increases our reading comprehension as well as the reading levels and so forth and so on. But primarily what it does is it shows children that fathers care about education and that it is important to them, not only that they come to school, but that they also read at home. We do a couple of different workshops that help dads, like say, if a dad is not actually in the home, he may be divorced, separated, or never married. We then provide him with examples on how he could do that type of reading with the iPad. He could do it with the regular book, but using Skype. But we really try to upgrade and focus on using technology to get dads to focus on reading. Our first project is called our Father's Reading Project, and I'll stop here because I have two other programs I wanted to share with you, brothers. But any questions that you might have on the Father's Reading Club?
Okay. This is Naz, Mr. Naz. How you doing, brother? I have a question.
Hey,
now,
brother, how are you?
All right. Now, I heard you state before, you reach out to the fathers. How can we reach the families that the father's not in the home? I mean, whether there's an uncle, a grandfather, somebody of male, I call positive influence in that home. How can we reach those? Because sometimes, unfortunately, we have some families that don't have that male role model in the home. I mean, what can we do to reach the other family members?
We're doing two things. The first thing is we do incentive activities with children. So for children who do have fathers that they can contact, if the dad's not in the home, but let's say he lives in a sister city or somewhere local, or even if he has to do the phone thing, we provide incentives for the kids. We, as indicated, Barnes & Noble is one of our partners. We also have partnered with the Chamber of Commerce in Orange, New Jersey. So some of the stores provide us with small kind of incentives that we would give to a child to say, if you contact your father and ask him to participate in this activity, you get a coloring book or, a box of crayons or a basketball or something like that. So using the kids as the wherewithal to get in contact with the dad is one way that we do. The second thing that we do is we connect with men's groups. I'm a member of the Omega Psi Phi fraternity, and our chapter in that area, the Mighty Eta Pi chapter, is a chapter that's actively involved. So we get the bruhs in the area to participate, say where a kid may not have a father. The bruhs will come out and they will participate in reading with children in that regard. And then the churches as well, say Reverend Rutherford, Reverend Hughes, Reverend good brother named Reverend Rice is doing some phenomenal work with brothers who are coming out of incarceration. He's doing some phenomenal stuff. So we're going to be working with him in dealing with brothers who are in that situation, who you know, coming home and, you know, trying to reestablish their relationship with their family. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. It did. I have a question I'm going to swing to. Do we have Brother Delancey Davis still online? I'm not sure if we lost him or not.
Yes, Delancey had to go because he had to. He's doing his show tonight in Atlantic City.
Okay.
He gets much love and support and total support of this great initiative that's being started in Orange.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, a question. We had a person that's on hold for quite some time. I'm not sure. I'm gonna see right now if this caller wants to identify himself. All right, you're on the line with the Man Up Talk Show. I seen you waiting on a while. I wasn't sure if you were just listening or you had something to, you want to ask the panel. Who we have online? Okay. All right, I believe that was just a listener. Now, just listen. For all those who listen to the show, feel free when you dial in. You want to listen on your phone. When you dial in on the phone, make sure you hit that prompt, that number one prompt. The number is 646-478-4507. Hit that prompt number one, and that'll let us know you want to talk to the panel or you have a question. Going forward, I think we have Sig that wants to ask a question. Bring her on. Once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. We want to officially welcome the First Lady of the Man Up Show, the lovely Miss Sig. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey,
we're feeling blessed.
I'm
we're feeling
fine.
Blessed, sister. I know you have a question. I seen that question mark pop. I said, hold up. Sister Sig got something she want to say. What's going on?
You guys are, I want to thank God you guys are back from vacation. I didn't know what to do with my Fridays from 7 to 9. And I was really crazy because I was in a different country and didn't know what to do. Forgive me, I'm terrible with names sometimes. The gentleman that has the program for the Million Father March in Jersey, his name?
My name is Matt Stevens.
Yes, Matthew, hi. I think you guys have a phenomenal program, but I'm a little confused. And I've asked the question about what about the father figures in the home who maybe that next-door neighbor, their uncle or whatever, when you guys are giving the kids the incentives, are you just saying fathers or what language are you using for the kids to contact that father to them? What if they don't know their father? Their father's not in their life.
That's a great question.
That's a great question. Thank you, Sig.
Oh, that's a great question. What we're doing is we're working with the teachers, with the principals. We have a significant Dominican, Mexican, and Haitian population now as well. So we're doing a lot of stuff in those three languages in different flyers and so forth and so on. So we're open to just, you know, to everybody that we can get involved. So say if there's a family that just doesn't have a male present in it, we then offer some of the community-based organizations to kind of help in that regard. But what we maintain that we do is when we do stuff like that, we never have individual brothers match up with individual children because of the liability issues that are existing.
No.
So we might invite brothers to participate in other things like that.
What she's saying is, if the father figure in that person's life is their uncle
or their older, or whoever's in their household, a neighbor or what have you, if they came, are they treated as if the father, or it has to be solely the person's father? Can it be their guardian?
I understand your question now. And whoever the child brings in, whether it's the uncle, the older brother, the stepfather, whoever he brings in as his father figure is allowed to come. That's why the name of the campaign is Calling All Men.
Okay, but this is my concern. And I'm saying this because I mentor a lot of young kids, and they have one parent or the other sometimes, and then things come up. And they're like, well, Ms. Siggy, what do I do? Well, I'll be your father for today, your mother for today, whatever it is. Okay, but the thing is, the language that the kids are hearing, when you're saying that you offer them an incentive, if you give this note to your dad, if you invite your dad to come out, I'll give you a coloring book. Well, what about the kid that's like, I don't have a dad, not for real. I have this person in my life, though, that means this much to me. What the language that the kids are hearing, that's what I'm concerned about.
That's a good concern.
I mean, we'll take that in consideration. I mean, we haven't had that pop up, but that is absolutely something that we need to be concerned about. So, thanks for that.
That's great. Because kids are very literal, and you might not have had it popped up because they probably never said anything. They never brought anybody or never said anything. So, in actuality, it probably wouldn't pop up. If they're just taking it literally and saying, well, I don't have a father, so this does not apply to me, as opposed to, well, I have a guardian that kind of fits the description of who you all are referring to, and because it was presented to me in a manner that I do have an option other than me not knowing my father, I can now go this route and bring someone. So, that's definitely something to consider when you're presenting.
Even though it hasn't popped up, I promise you, those kids talk about anything and everything on the playground and in their little playgroup, and that's how I found out that the city that I just relocated from, that they were having that issue when they had these father days, and these kids were like, I don't have a father.
Right.
Hey,
and so rather than, and they're not going to say anything out loud because they're kids, and they felt comfortable with me, and they were like, Ms. Siggy, what do we do? I'll get y'all some dads. We can work that out. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
okay.
Thanks
for that information.
Yeah, this is Nash. Let me raise a question.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, Hop. What's going on? This is my childhood friend, so me and Matt go way back. So this is like more my brother than my friend. It's really not something I want to ask, but it's really something that's prevalent in today's society that we really, truly have to understand and ask this question, want it or not. And you have definitely... We have to understand that there is a gay community out there. There's a lot of two women families raising little boys.
Wow, that's a great
where
question.
Where do we go to mentor these young men that need to be monitored and cared for? And
that's
have
a great
that
question.
Male image to say, hey, you know, granted, there's no male in the house and you're being raised by these women. Where do we as men and mentors in the community stand on that issue where we can say, hey, whatever your lifestyle is at home, where do we give this child an opportunity to progress in life and have that male image when there is none prevalent at all? Expound on that for me. Where can we go with that, with this mentoring program and this Million Man March program that we're putting out there to ensure in the community?
Was the question to me, Al?
Yeah, that's to you, Matt.
Oh, okay. What we're doing in that regard is we're using the resources that we have. You know, if a sister is with another sister in a relationship and there is no man in the household, and she wants her son engage in relationships with men, we offer those relationships. We're working, Keith Cressy is doing a phenomenal job working with us with the Pop Warner football, as well as the various karate programs. You know Dave Bell, we went to high school with him. He has a karate program on Main Street that we're working with. We got,
okay,
you know, various church groups. We So we are engaging. We're offering these services available for kids, regardless of their parents' sexual orientation. That if they don't have men that are involved, who they can reach out to, that we're making men available to help them in that regard.
Very good. I like that. I like that.
It's real. I mean, it's real. I mean, if we accept it or don't accept it, it's real. And unfortunately,
absolutely,
there are a lot of young men out here that are being raised, you know, in a two-woman household. And there is no male figure present at all. No male that they really know is going to go to school. And sometimes, you know, you can't mold a man from a woman. And she can't teach him how to be a man. She can raise him well, and she can nurture him, and she can support him. But she's not a man. And there's some things, same goes with women. There's some things, even if it was a man raising a girl, he can raise her. But there's some things that a woman has to do. And it's the same thing for a man.
Like what? Like what? Give me an example. Give me an example
thing
of what my dad could do for me.
I grew up with no father. I come from a family of 12. Six boys, six girls. So before you check me, let me explain to you. Women, I know, but I don't have a problem. I'm going to see you say, but I'm just saying that there's some things that you need to learn. I was raised with six sisters and my mother, and I had five brothers. None of my brothers taught me how to be a man. None of my brothers taught me birds and the bees. I didn't grow up with no father figure. So all the women in my life, my brothers were much older than I was. Everything I learned on my own. So there are some things I wish I would have learned as a child. But see, they were all women raising. So I learned the other part of life, which is how to be respectful, how to be responsible, how to understand certain needs in life that I have to go out and attain to get to become a better person. But I wish there was someone to be able to say, let me show you how to throw a ball. Let me show you how to read. Let me show you how to fight. I've learned all that on my own. So there's a part of me that I wish some male figure would have taught me. So that's my point. I'm not saying that a woman can't teach a young man how to become a man, but there's plenty of women out here that's done a hell of a job with men, and I'm one of them, you know. But I just know that there's sometimes when you need that male figure to teach that young man, you know, what he needs to know to go to the next level into his manhood. I have one son, and I'm in his ear like a preacher every single time I talk to him, only because I didn't get that chance. So I make sure that I talk to him, tooth and nail, talk to my son. I've been going to college now for over 2.5 years, every day, only because I want him to know it doesn't stop. Because you grew up, it doesn't stop. But that's the point that I would love to see when there are situations where it's woman home, you know, what can we do to help? Because they may be doing a great job collectively raising a child. But sometimes, yeah, you do need that male in it just to give them something different of what men are going to have coming to them in the future. You know, as young men, well, they need to learn how to mold into that man. That's just my point that I'm trying to make.
I think it's the difference between a need and a want. I can understand you would have wanted those things to be taught to you by another male. But, it's kind of tricky playing with words. When we say you need to be raised by a man to learn how to be a man, I mean, we still have yet to be able to define what being a man is as well as a woman. Everything that you stated after she said, like what were things that a woman could and are doing, like you said, throwing a ball. And matter of fact, I think Sig is I won't say notorious, very known for teaching her children all the sports that they have learned. All those things are things that a woman can do. But I can understand the want to have it done from your father. But at the same token, you have households that have both male and females, and the sons are becoming gay, or the daughters are becoming ended up gay. So that kind of kills the whole, if my father was there, it would help me with this, or if my mom was there, it would help me be this.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm just saying, but
no,
maybe I did word that improperly, saying, you know, need and want that scenario.
Yeah.
But it was more, I guess it would be more of, I would have liked.
Yeah, I understand. Which makes,
that I needed it, yeah. So,
which makes these mentoring things even more the better, because we're providing them with options. As opposed to, this is your reality, and you have to become whatever you become with just this lifestyle that you are given. Now you have options. If you do want that father figure, you can go here and be mentored to get that father figure. If you do want that female or that mother figure, you can go there to get that mother figure, or you can go to your aunt or what have you. So that's what makes these things even more the better. So kudos to you, Brother Matthew.
I agree, Brother Matthew. Brother Matthew, this is Nas again. You got me?
Yeah, I'm with you, though.
All right, no doubt. Listen, brother, it sounds like, you know, as I'm listening to everyone talking around the panel, it sounds like you got this one-day event. It sounds like more this is an initiative that should be calling all men, that should kind of span throughout the school year. I mean, you know,
exactly.
Kind of like, what's the old cliche that you keep marketing something, people see it enough, and, you know, they want to buy the product. I just think that this type of initiative, calling all men, need to go year-round. Because if you drive it at home, you're putting it out there, you know, sometimes a man or some of our men in our society have a tendency seeing something, like, you know what, I see this all the time, let me buy the product. And maybe that can motivate, out of 10 men, maybe it'll motivate 2 men. Maybe the next month it may motivate 3 men. Maybe the month after that, it may motivate 4 to 5, and your numbers will go up. That's just my own thought on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
We agree wholeheartedly, brother. And what I was going to kind of get at is how we're actually doing it in Orange. So it's just not a one-day feel-good type of activity. So what the superintendent has done is he's provided us with the ability to work with each school and the community-based organizations to make it that so that it's consistent. Some of the activities are conducted once a month. Like, say, the reading activity is where we ask the dads to come in once a month and participate. We also do something that I'm really excited about, man. We're doing this thing called a Fatherhood Football Fellowship. At the school, what we do, we have, the auditorium, it allows us to show the football game on like a 100-foot screen. And what we do is we open up for the 1 o'clock and the 4 o'clock game, and then we invite fathers to bring their children, boys and girls, to the school. It almost serves like as a sports bar for families. So the dads are able to watch the game, or if they don't want to watch the game, we have around this auditorium, we have smaller televisions where they can play video games. And then we invite groups, like this first activity, we're inviting a local hospital, St. Barnabas Hospital, will be there to distribute information about men's health issues. And so we make Sundays after church a complete activity from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock where dads can come out and engage with their kids every single Sunday during football season. And then we're going to be doing something similar in basketball season. And we're trying to see if we can get something going on for the soccer, because as indicated, we have a significant Spanish and Haitian population, and they're really kind of feeling that. So that's one of the things you're doing on the social fellowship. And I talked a little bit about the reading thing. We're doing a project that we're working with the Soapbox Derby and our science department, where we're using science to help fathers teach kids how to build and engaging in those type of activities. And so our philosophy or our theory is that by participating in these social fellowship type of activities versus kind of coming to the PTA meetings, we're increasing the level of quality time that dads are spending with the children so that we can help to increase student achievement. And so that's our focus on what we're doing. And so far, the brothers in East Orange have picked up, so they're going to try to run with it. And we're looking now to engage with, in Jersey we have where the public housing is called the Housing Authority. Each city has a housing authority, so we have a strong connection with the East Orange, the Orange, and the Irvington Housing Authority, where they're actually allowing us to do all of these programs in their community rooms so that the folks who live in those complexes, can they don't have to kind of come to the school to participate in it. They can participate it right at home. So, you know, we don't have it all together. Like I said, we just started last year, but we're working around the clock trying to engage dads because we know that father's going to make a difference in their kids' lives. We just have to kind of find a way to get them actively involved in the topic.
Wow, that's great stuff. Great stuff. Listen, gentlemen, we have a caller that has a question. I'm going to see if we can get this caller online, if you guys don't mind, real quick. I'm going to pull this caller up. Okay, let me pull him up where we at. Hello, good evening. You're on the Man Up Talk Show. Who we have online? Hello? We have you on the Man Up Talk Show. All right. Once again, listeners, if you're calling and you hit that prompt one, you're letting everyone know that you want to ask a question, you know. So feel free, do not be afraid, you know. But I know we got a lot of listeners right now online, so let's continue swinging around. Brother Dow, you on deck?
Yes, sir. Right here.
All right, all right. Let's keep it going. Now, I mean, you know, it sounds like a great initiative, and I do, you know, us personally, as a Man Up, I call squad and family. I'm going to say family now, because we all missed each other. we're all about, you know, supporting anything that's positive about the movement. So whatever we can personally do to help you guys out, whether it's advertising or even coming and doing a live broadcast, let us know, and you have the full support of the team.
Thanks.
Now, Brother Darryl, I mean, let's swing it around the room. I mean, we're talking about education right now. From this point, how can we get men more involved with, involved with the families? I mean, because you got the families that don't have the father in the household. How can you get him reintegrated in that household that, per se, that may be a strained relationship between mommy and daddy? How can you get that back in there? Because, you know, let's keep it real. Drama happens in a lot of our communities, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Puerto Rican, Mexican, it just happens. But I just think it's very important to get the man. I'm not saying a woman's not important, you know, Sig. Women are very important, but we trying to get our men to step up to the plate. Disclaimer. That's a disclaimer, sister. That's a disclaimer. I'm just trying to get our brothers to step up to the plate, trying to be in front of the line, because strong sisters like yourself will read us. Quick, fast, in a hurry. We're just trying to get more of our men that maybe not as educated, maybe right. Those who is not motivated. How can we do
like
that?
I mean, see more men at all activities. When I go to the football games and practice and soccer,
yep,
and everything else,
yep,
I see more mothers and grandmothers and aunts and big sisters out there, mm-hmm, and I'm like, where are your dads? You know when you see a dad, when the boy starts playing high school ball, he's a star on the team. Then dad shows up.
Well, I agree. No, I agree. Even in the Pop Warner games, I agree. Even it's crazy. You see more mothers at the Pop Warner games than the dads. I used to be excited by seeing my son play ball. Haas, I know he was almost at every game. Brother Darryl's out there supporting it. Oh, just for FYI, everybody don't know, he was just hanging out with his godson, who's a former New York Giant, Mr. Jay Alford. You know, we'll talk about that behind the scenes.
That's my nephew.
Oh, that's your nephew. I'm
crazy.
Sorry.
Nephew, yeah.
It's crazy to me. I mean, I'm going to support kids. I don't have any kids in those grades anymore. And I'm like, okay, they need somebody there for them. Where the hell are the dads?
And that's true. Sometimes, I mean, this is why we're addressing this to the men. You don't have to address it to the sisters, because the sisters have had to deal with this over and over again for decades, where there is a disconnect for whatever reason between the father and the mother, leaving the mother holding the, maybe not necessarily the economic responsibility, but definitely the custodial responsibility. They're actually physically raising the child. Meanwhile, a lot of us feel after the breakup of a relationship that you got my child support, so there you have it. You know,
a lot of women, wait a minute now, let me just defend you guys for a second here. A lot of women bring that crap on themselves. When you want to bring drama to a man's life, especially a black man, they don't want drama. They don't need drama. They're going to walk away from drama. I'll take care of my child, but I'm not dealing with you. So I get that. Maybe they're not going to show up for practices, guys. I understand that for everybody that's listening. I understand. I wouldn't show up if I got to do battle with Boom Chica either, because you want to hit it in the head, but your kid is there.
Wow.
And
actually, you're very
that.
Right. You're very right.
A lot of men have been pushed out of their child's lives, and I so get that. And I'm so sorry that happened. But for those that are not pushed out, you just sit at home, popping a cold one, talking to your friends, get your butt up and go to an activity.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, Sig. Sig, I'm very glad you said that. I'm going to swing this over to Matt. Brother Matt, you online still with us? Brother Matt.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Sig brought up a very good point. Now, we're trying to reach out to these men. We have our women. That's very controversial, very confrontational. Is there a way to reach those mothers who's kind of fighting against, well, he don't have a daddy, I don't deal with that? Is it a way to reach those women who's purposely depriving their child of a male figure? Is there a way that we can reach them on a school level?
Yes. I'm the author of a book called Raising Him Alone. If you guys have the internet available, the website is raisinghimalone.com. Me and a brother named David Miller wrote the book to provide strategies for single mothers that are raising boys. We also have a phenomenal Facebook page. As of tonight, we have 2,339 sisters throughout the country that have signed up. And one of the things that we've learned in kind of working with sisters is that it helps when other sisters kind of have that conversation with a sister about what she may be doing that may be not as beneficial to her son by talking negatively about dad or so forth and so on. So what we recommend is that that are in that situation that are bitter or angry about or something and they just can't let it go, that they get into some type of support group with other sisters. I don't know. I haven't had any positive experience trying to start that conversation with a sister. Me personally, I just haven't had any success with that. So I wouldn't recommend, unless you're a professional counselor or something like that, I wouldn't recommend that brothers try that. To try to answer your question specifically about what schools could do, I think what we're trying to do in the Orange Public Schools is we're developing a series of support groups for different parent situations. We're developing one called the Raising Him Alone Group, where single mothers who are raising boys are able to access resources to deal with certain things that they may come up with. You know, how does a sister let go of the bitterness that she has every single right to be bitter about, but she doesn't see how it's affecting her child, and she just may not have the capacity to know what to do to let it go. So what we're doing at the Orange Public Schools is developing support groups to kind of help in that regard, using our churches and other groups to assist us in that area. I hope that answers your question.
That's very well said. I think that the whole point is, you know, establishing a support group or even going to the point of learning how to forgive and go forward, know that the bigger picture here is about the child. You know, that's just my perspective on it. Anybody on the panel, what's your thoughts on that?
I've done this for several women that I've run across, and that bitterness is sitting there. It's about establishing a rapport with them, your own personality. If they're willing to talk to you, you can have that conversation with them and not even know their name. And that's what it is. They want to vent to somebody, so you listen to their vent, and you just bring it around to the child. You're going to hurt your child because you're mad that he married Mary. Are you kidding me? That's a plus. You get to send him away for some days, and you just got to make it so that open their eyes and let them know that all that hatred and bitterness, you can carry that around all you want to. That's just going to kill you. And then he will have his child.
That's right.
You have to build a rapport with them, and it's not as hard as everybody thinks it is. Everybody thinks, oh, the angry black woman. Well, I don't know. But I run to very few people I can't talk to. It's like, you're not going to listen to me? Really? Yes, you are. But when they come, you've got to make them understand that if you love your child, you care about your child and your child's future, you've got to let them have that time with his dad. Don't be the one to cut him off from his dad. Don't be the woman to tell this child your dad is this, your dad is that. Don't put that dad down. Children are very perceptive. They know which parent is the bullshit parent, always. Let him ruin his relationship with his child himself. Don't let that child turn 18 and hate you because you turned him against his dad, and he found out his dad wasn't as crazy as you said he was. You were the bad crap crazy one.
I've been taking notes.
This is my fourth thing.
Yeah. Don't want me to bring.
I've been taking notes. So, are y'all ready?
Unfortunately, a lot of the problems that the black community have with the black man being absent is that the black woman has pushed him away. And for women that want to get out there and get mad at me, I don't care. All my friends are guys. So it's just the way it is. You may not, he don't want you, you don't want him, prove it. Don't cause any discord between him and his child. Don't cut him off from his child.
Very well said.
I'm about to run down my list.
You've got to give him that opportunity.
You said what?
I said, hello,
Andrew. I know you got something ready, bro.
I'm about to run down my list of notes that I've been taking.
And I know you got some. What you got?
First, I want to start off with the beginning of the show in regards to this brother that says, you know, men don't talk, and as well as our mission statement. I want to start there. First of all, all of those men that you spoke of in the beginning, Daryl, like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, etc., they were men who spoke, and because of the words that they spoke, people began to move in action. So it's first the word and then action. It's always been. Can I get an amen on let there be light?
Amen.
First comes the word and then the action. So first we speak and then the action comes into play. Now, as far as our mission statement and what we do, it's a platform birthed by men of action who saw a lack of men in action dealing with social and economical problems. We don't just bring those problems to the table to gripe about them. We also provide opportunities, diverse solutions to the table to get an active men to be active. It's not a show that disregards women or feels that there is no need for women. It's more to create a help aid for women
that's right.
who are doing but lacking help. And that's what our mission statement is for. We see a lack of men. So we have created a panel of active men to provide solutions to issues that aren't normally talked about so that we can get inactive men active to help us, to help women who are already active to make a change in our community. If I was to summarize everything, that's what it is that we do here on the Man Up Talk Show.
That's right.
Now, I since we're talking about the Man Up Talk Show, granted, I understand we don't want to deal with drama as men or just people in general, but it's not man enough to run away from the drama. Matter of fact,
that's
it,
right.
It helps the mom build a false sense of who you are to the child and
right.
provides them with the opportunity to assume that what mom is saying about you negatively is accurate. But if you consistently
mm-hmm.
show yourself and you're always there and showing yourself in a positive light, like Sig said, the child is going to realize that in actuality, mom, you are the one that's crazy.
Strong
running away from
strong
the drama, but running away from the drama, all it makes them do is think that what mama is saying about daddy is true. And unfortunately, sometimes legally you can't be around the child. So I got some great advice from Sig in regards to something like that, where a young man that she knew, and she highly recommends it, and I do too, kept a diary of times that he wanted to be with his child, or he sat at parks watching his child, or what have you, or journal. That's man, you know, the Man Up Show. It wasn't a diary; it was a journal, guys.
kept a journal of
the many times that he wanted to spend with the child, or he saw the child doing things enough to see the different things, so that when that child was 18 and he was able to spend time with that child that resented him, that was how the wall was broken down, by sharing that diary with them and allowing them to read the many times that he was actually there, but he couldn't be there because mom kept him from being there. And that actually showed that mom was not being truthful about who he was and his actions, and that actually opened up the door or the window of opportunity for them to begin to build a relationship from that point on.
Very well said, brother.
That's another way to make sure that if you're not able to legally be in your child's life, when the opportunity permits itself, provide them with the opportunity to say, here, hear me out. I'm not who your mom said that I was, and let's work from there. And use this as evidence that I care for you from afar, and I want to care from you here on out physically by showing you who I am by being in your life. Another thing that I noticed, I'm not sure if it's a cultural thing or a locale thing in regards to the dads being at the events, because I see a lot of dads here at the actual events when it comes to sports and stuff. But what I don't see is a lot of fathers and stuff at the academic or scholastic event.
Right, true.
And if they are there, they're not giving the same amount of energy and cheering that they're giving for the scholastic event that they're giving for the football game. And they have dumb athletes because of it. Because they emphasize how great the sport is and how, hey, we keep on doing conditioning or whatever, but they don't condition their children's minds or their scholastic work. They don't cheer for the good grades. They don't cheer for the other activities like band or arts or anything like that. They only cheer for the sports, which causes the child to just focus on sports and just become a dumb athlete. Which, if you think of any of the athletes that have been really successful, they were very intelligent. Your Kobe Bryant, your Michael Jordan, your Magic Johnson, they're very smart individuals. And because of their mental capacity, that caused them to create things on the courts and the fields that they're playing on. Because they're athletic as well as intelligent.
But you know what, Brother Eddie, you said something that was very, very profound. All the men you just named, they had men in their lives. They had a strong family structure.
Oh, that's
all
good.
Those men you named. They did.
That's good.
Look. They did. The dad, Michael Jordan's dad, he loved his father to death. His father was heavy in his life. Magic Johnson's father was heavy in his life. And everybody know Kobe Bryant's father was, like, definitely in his life hard.
That's right. Good.
So,
brother,
I mean,
one,
men
one
does
things,
make a difference.
One of the things that we're trying to do in Orange with the public schools, we can't spend too much time on these type of things, because, you know, our focus is, you know, the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, and a lot
right.
of this stuff is really focuses in on family dynamics. So we understand that the family dynamics do play a significant part And so what we're recommending and we're working on hard is working with our community partners to be as active as we possibly can. And one of the things that we're going to be trying this year is working with a group called Family Success Organization. It's in East Orange, New Jersey, but they're going to be doing some work with us in Orange to do a series of co-parenting workshops. Trying to teach parents who aren't together how to be parents in that situation. Because it's
really difficult
if you have two parents that are good people, but just different, you know. And so you may have a set of rules at my house and then a set of rules at her house that's different, and that's confusing for a child. And if I don't know as a father, and I don't really like your mother, and I just haven't been able to get, you know, I don't know how to do the co-parenting thing. That is really kind of causing some problems for me. So there's a sister named Kumani Davis that is going to be doing some work with us. She's a specialist in that area with co-parenting. So I would encourage you and your city to do some of this stuff. And then what I'd like to also indicate is that everything that we're doing, all of the workshops, all of the parent workshops that we're doing, we will be placing them on our website, which is orange.k12.nday.us. And these workshops will be videotaped so that anybody that wants to access them can access them for your PTA, meeting, for your church group, for a parent that just may want to, you know, look at it and so forth and so on. So we hope that that resource is helpful.
That is awesome, right there. That's awesome, right there. Brother Darryl.
Yeah, Matt, can you give the website one more time?
The website for the Orange Public School
orange.k12.nj.us.
And a significant amount of the stuff as it relates specifically to single mothers raising boys is our website, raisinghimalone.com. And for direct interaction, where you can actually post a question and sisters and brothers will provide their feedback. The Facebook page is Single Mothers Raising Boys.
Right.
So I would encourage everybody that's online, if any of you guys are on Facebook, please go to that Facebook page and become a friend, like it. I don't know what you call it these days, but go there and your input would help, and I think that some of the input that you get back may be helpful as well.
Brother Matt.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Darryl.
Okay, let me go first real quick, Eddie. Matt, can you give us a quick synopsis of the Brotherhood program?
Sure. I actually started the Brotherhood program in 1993 when I was in college with the direction of Dr. Robert L. Johnson. He's the dean at the University of Medicine and Dentistry. And the Brotherhood program is a comprehensive school-based mentor program where we teach a class during the school day at the Orange Middle Schools, focused on conflict resolution, self-management, and interpersonal communication. I developed the curriculum, and we teach the course to a select group of boys to focus on those things, help them to do better in school. The program has been in existence since 1993, so I believe it's about 20.
My math on that stuff is
about 25, 30 years old. It's been a minute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. It's,
yeah, we got
the program is run now by a good brother. His name is Reggie Miller. Reg Miller is the stalwart. He is the Brotherhood at this point in time. So, but I started it back in the 90s.
Absolutely. It has been a great program for a lot of young men who you would define as being at risk, that have able to balance certain things out based upon the ability to be able to turn to someone and to be able to learn simple things like conflict resolution between two brothers without it having to escalate to something that is not necessary for it to become. Has the program gone beyond the city of Orangeville?
Not formally. The program has stayed in Orange because that's the Board of Education who was interested, and they continue to fund it every year. But I will tell you this, that the high school basketball, you know, it's the funniest thing. I was walking through the hallway the other day, and a young man approached me. "Hey, Mr. Stevens, how you doing?" And I kind of noticed his face a little bit, but he was a grown man now. I had noticed him. He says, "You don't remember me. My name is Jamal Cooper. I was in the Brotherhood program in 1994, and now I'm the head basketball coach here at Orange High School." So the program has had an impact. Over the last 20 years, we've had about 2,000 boys come through the program, and it's like I said, Reg Miller is the coordinator of it now, and it's moving at a strong and steady pace, and it's backed by the University of Medicine and Dentistry. So we do a research project at the end of the year, and the brother who had asked about our evaluation strategies, I would love to send you some information on what we're doing to evaluate student performance in the Brotherhood program.
We're definitely gonna talk because that's what I do here in Virginia, and the reason why I definitely ask you for how is it that you measure what you all are doing. For one, that means that like Nas said, it can't be just an initiative if you're measuring stuff. It has to be ongoing. That's the first thing.
Right.
Two, you have to, if you're measuring stuff, you're eliminating stuff that's not working, and you're accentuating stuff that is working. And two, you have a plan in place as opposed to just doing something. So that's definitely necessary because you know that, okay, at this point, this is where they should be. If they're not, I need to change my approach or do something differently. So I'm loving what I'm hearing thus far. The Brotherhood thing, that's in school only. It's not out of school thing.
Yeah, it's both. What we do that's really phenomenal, brother, is we actually teach a class during the school day. So the kid will go from math to gym to Brotherhood then to science. You know, so it's during the school day in the school. And then we have, after school, extended school day type of activity. And,
how often does
that's every day. Every day, even on the weekend. We do it every day except for Sunday.
So the after-school program kind of like tutoring or something like that?
Well, you have the tutoring from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and then from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you got basketball and, recreational activities. We partner up with the rec department, and then a lot of the kids play sports. So, after school, if they're on the Pop Warner football team, or if they're on the Biddy basketball team or Little League baseball, they go, go there, but they have to come to three to four. They have to come to after school tutoring to make sure that their homework is done before they can go to any extracurricular activities. And we use a curriculum by a brother named Dave Miller called Dare to Be King. So if you're interested in that curriculum, you can find that at daretobeking.com. brother's name is David Miller.
Got it. And also, just for quicker methods of measuring, the approach that I always use whenever I'm teaching, well, and when I consider teaching is duplicating, whatever it is that I'm doing, I always use the I do and teach you watch approach, then I do and teach you help, then you do and teach I help and critique, then you do and teach I watch and critique if necessary. That way I know for sure that they understand what it is that I'm showing them or trying to teach them to do. A lot of times we just teach and give a test, and that doesn't necessarily make it evident that they know or understand the material. But if I start off doing, which is the action word for that person that that has a problem with us talking. If I start off doing, and they end up doing and teaching, that means that from my actions and teaching, they have adopted and understand and grasp the concept of what they're doing. Because a lot of people just do, and they don't necessarily understand the reason why they're doing. But if you can teach it, then you understand it. So it always starts with I do and teach and you watch and then go, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just another method of getting a quicker measurement of what it is that you're teaching being effective.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. Well, brothers, this has been a interesting forum. Matt, I'm going to give you a couple minutes to say whatever it is that you would like to say, whatever last thoughts you would like to convey to us this evening about the importance of male involvement in education.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, I wanted to kind of just share my email address, and I'd love to stay in contact with you to kind of get your input, because I can't remember the sister's name who was on the line, but she had some really good points that I hadn't thought about, and so I want to consistently learn more, because we don't have the answers. You know, we're out here every single day. We're struggling, we're learning. We think we do a really good job, but we don't think that we have fixed it. And anything that you're doing in your part of town that's working, we want to emulate it. And we want to be able to share our stuff as well. So my email address is Matt, M-A-T-T, dot Steven, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, @me.com.
@1.com?
CME.com.
CME.com.
ME.com.
Yes.
@Stevens1. @me.com.
Oh, at me?
Me,
yeah.
M-E.
M as in Matthew, E as in Elizabeth.
Yes.
Oh, okay, me.com. Got it. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We good.
In conclusion, I just kind of wanted to say as it relates to the stuff that we're doing in Orange, we're really excited about this series of programs and activities that we have coming up. We would, if I'm not friends with you on Facebook, I'm Matt Stevens, bald-headed cat. You'll see my picture. So I look forward to kind of working with you every capacity, and if you're doing something that's working, or if you see something that I'm doing that needs to be critiqued, I got strong skin, you know, say, hey, Matt, I think what you're doing is whack. You should think about it this way. We can only learn from each other. So thank you for giving me the time to speak about the work that we're doing in Orange, and brother, sister, we really look forward to working with you in the near future.
Same here, brother. Once again, I mean, we want to thank you, brother, for taking your time to talk with our panel and many of our listeners. We appreciate it. Anybody on the panel have any last questions? Anybody have any last questions for Brother Matt? Oz?
No, just really happy to really hear Matt speak, and you know, like I said, we are old friends. We grew up together, so
we know each other very well, and I definitely know what Matt does in the community. And he's always been this way, so this is not some guy who's fly by night that just want to do something for the community. Matt has always been this way. He's always been a stick with education, and definitely always been probably one of the most influential and positive voters I've known my entire life. So this is definitely not some fugazi guy that's just coming on the air trying to blow it up our anus. So I just want to definitely let you know Matt is the real deal. I would definitely like for him and Brother Edward to definitely communicate on a different level outside of the show. I think he has a lot of good ideas for Brother Edward to know about. And I definitely know the things that Brother Edward does, he can also expound on some of his ideas with you, Matt. And I just want to say, you know, all love always to you. And I just really appreciate the fact that, you know, the show went this direction tonight. And, you know, I really love the topic in itself. And, you know, cheers to everybody.
Hey, I had one thing I wanted to say to Haas. Haas, I had this idea this morning that I want to do this fundraiser called Clubbing for Kids. And I want to see if you and Jahad would be the DJ. So be on the lookout for that.
It's whatever. You know how I do.
All right.
I'll do it.
You got to get it in.
Yeah, you know me.
Okay. Brother Ed, Dow, Sig, any final questions for Brother Matt?
I think what he's doing is great. I'll definitely be in contact. You guys are going to make me have to catch a plane to Jersey. Jesus. I'm trying to stay off planes. No, I think your program is great. I think you guys have some great things. I have been checking out your website while we were talking. I will be in touch.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
What's up?
Okay, great. That's what's up. Brother Ed?
I have a suggestion more than a question for Brother Matt. Just be careful about burnout is one, and stretching yourself, doing too many programs to where one can become ineffective because you have a lot of other stuff going on. So just be mindful of it. I'm not saying that it's being done. Just be mindful of it because it happens a lot. We want to do so much for the community that that we don't we're not fully engaged or where as much as we should be, where we should or need to be, or where we were created to be, and it causes it to be watered down or diluted in a manner that is not as effective as it would have been had you given it your full attention because you were a part of so many other ministries.
I appreciate
well,
that, brother. My wife is giving me the screw face right now, so I ain't going to stay on this phone too much longer.
No, we're going to wrap it up. Hey, Brother Dow, let's close up, Brother Matt, and let's talk amongst us, brother.
Absolutely.
Okay, you got it.
We went to Bloomfield College together. We have been friends well over 20 years. This brother is a serious advocate. He cares about the future of our children. Not just by boundaries, not just in East Orange, not just in Orange, but the plight of the young black man. And he has dedicated his life to such. I thank you very much for sharing with us tonight the initiatives that are being set in the city of Orange, the initiatives that you're looking to implement. You know personally me, brother, you call me, you know you got me. I'm right there. So the crew is here. You know I'm on deck. You know I'm on board. Whatever you need, you know I'm right there. So, once again, thank you 1,000 times over. Thanks for being a friend to the show. And if you need anything, we're here. And, you know, we need you, vice versa. And thank you.
All right,
guys.
Thank you, brother. That was a great show, guys. That was awesome. Let's spin around. We got about 10 minutes, gentlemen and lovely lady. Let's talk about what's going on. We're going to next week. I think we had a couple suggestions going to next week's show. Brother Darrell, this came from the lovely Miss Signature, and actually I love the topics you put on the table. Brother Darrell, what are we doing next week?
Next week, we're going to do a Siggy special. We're going to do Stop It.
Hold up. You can't do a Siggy special. Kids listen. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. No. That's something else. We can't talk about chicks.
Lord have mercy.
That's a different Ziggy special. We're going to do that for our After Dark show. That's the After Dark show. Tune in for special information on our After Dark shows. But, no, on our regular show next Friday, we're going to go on the subject of Stop and Frisk. We have DeLacy coming back. We're going to have a couple of other guests coming on, some from New York City, where Stop and Frisk is the rule of the day. We're going to talk about DWB, Driving While Black. DWP, Driving While Black. We're going to talk deeper into the subject of Stop and Frisk and why, you know, and profiling. We're just going to go in on this subject. Cannot wait. And that's the show.
Okay. Let's spin it around the room. What's going on with you, Brother Haas? And we glad to have you on. I know Brother Ed and Big.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, bro?
Everything. You know, just trying to do some things here and there. Trying to progress at work. You know, unfortunately, I'm a workaholic, so, you know, it gives me opportunity to stay away from the show, which I don't depend on always doing. So, hey, got a kid in college, got another one in 11th grade, you know, got things going.
Congratulations.
I had my daughter on there. Yeah, she was listening. I wanted her to chime in, but she didn't want to chime in. So,
we were like, hello.
She also was a college graduate. I wanted her to chime in and sit in the other room. She didn't want to get on. But I'm just trying to do some things on the side. I'm trying to play some music in here. You know, just trying to move forward, progress, you know, and keep everything humble and perspective. You know, just trying to make sure that life stays the way it is, you know, anatomically. So I can stand up and talk about it and don't have to be laying on my back wondering about it.
There you go. What you say, bro?
Just really happy and proud that the show is really going forward and ahead. And, love what you guys are doing, you know, Brother Edwards. Always
no, what pleasure. We doing, brother? What we doing, man? You know,
yeah,
you're
exactly.
There.
You are in it.
What we doing?
I'm always listening,
brother.
I like what you guys are doing when I'm not here.
Nah, we, man.
So
we're not here. We're not there. You're there, bro.
Stars on the show. So the stars of the show are the guys that's on that night. So I have to say that you guys are doing a great job, you know, and yes, I am a part of this. Yes, I am one of the originators of it, but it definitely has progressed into something so much more beyond just, you know, four hosts with a pretty good ass picture on Facebook, you know. We're going to get you in there too. But, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, I love you guys to death, and Brother Dow, man, it's a pleasure. Brother Edward, you already know it's always a pleasure, man. I always have all your intelligence and some of your great input. Nass, you
I
know,
love
my brother, another brother, mother. Nass Stevens, that was great to have him on the show. Sig, it's always great to hear you. You know, I just want to, you know, just express my gratitude and appreciation for how this show has progressed. And we definitely couldn't be done without the help of each and every one of you. So, you know, salute to everybody.
Well, I'm excited, brother.
It's just really, really good. Makes me smile just to know that this really has gone somewhere else, and the people that has began to have input in the show itself. So, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of has me all jacked up just knowing that this is really going somewhere else, from just something small to where it is right now.
You know, it's awesome because, you know, me and Daryl was just talking early today. We got people in Japan checking this out. We got Japan. What else we got, Daryl? Europe, England area.
Yes,
right. So
y'all
big
got
shout
Spain
out to UK.
And Greece. Spain
oh,
and Greece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blog,
okay.
Blog
all right.
Radio
shout
is
out.
Where it's at. You know, blog radio is an awesome tool. You know, it's way more than what you think it is. You know, a lot of people don't understand what blog radio is. You know, and people tune in. They're intrigued and, you know, interested to know what are they talking about. What is this format? Who are these guys? You know, all it takes is to hear all these intelligent brothers and sisters come on the air and just
speak about, you know, the things that's going on in society right now. You know, it's always something that's interesting to just the common ear. You know, we're always interested to know what's new and what's abroad. You know, current events is definitely something that's always the hot topic of the day. So if, you know, we're gonna have fun with this. Fellas and brothers and sisters to be able to talk about it and actually are persons who have lived it, then, you know, it makes so much more of a difference than just figureheads trying to tell you A, B, and C equals D, you know. You know, it's a difference when we all have lived these topics and we want them. So definitely a big shout out to all of those that's definitely been tuning in and chiming in to the show. You know, it's definitely appreciated with a lot of love and respect.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
All right. We're going to spin it around to Sig. What's going on, sister?
You guys are great. You guys are great. I'm actually in the States. I've been in the States for 5 straight days. I'm so excited about that. You guys have no idea. I am a frequent flyer, for real, and I retired. I don't work anymore, and I fly more now. You guys are just doing a wonderful job. I appreciate the topics, and I tell everybody, I just like listening to the fact that they're men that know that there are things that's going on, and they're active in talking about it.
Wow. We know Brother Eddie always gotta give us gotta roll out the red carpet for Brother Eddie. We gotta roll the red carpet out, big dog. No. But we know that you're very insightful, brother. You know, I missed your very insightful comments.
That's they call him the man.
Eddie's comments, Eddie's thoughts make you apologize to somebody every week. I tell them all the time, they make me sick. I'm constantly apologizing to somebody because of you.
Just FYI, Eddie, we had a chance to chop it up, but 900 and some odd people checked out the show between you and Brother Oz.
Hey, see?
900.
They did what?
But, hey, Haas, listen, man, you had to hear the show. Haas, you had to hear the show. It was 900 people tuned in just to hear the back and forth. Oh, my God. It was like a mental chess match. But I love these brothers, man.
Yes.
I love these brothers, but you know, it was passion. I just started cracking up. I'm sorry.
You know, you're in for it when Eddie goes. Wait, let me ask you a question.
Oh, Jesus. Hush, man. They went in. I was like, oh, Jesus. This is supposed to be lighthearted. But no, they went hard. They went Malcolm X. They went Black Panther. They went in. I was like, oh.
Eddie, you wasn't informed.
It had Kevin Hart on the page. Kevin Hart was on the page.
I'm telling you, Eddie was like Bobby Seale Jr.
Oh, man.
These cats, I know. You listen. I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go.
No. Well, I hear what you just said. In case you didn't hear, let me tell you. Listen to the archive later.
Oh, my stomach hurts. I'm sorry.
You good, man. I know we talked about education, and what I do want people to take away and understand before they leave is it's not a coincidence that. The definition of the word education doesn't have the word school or university in it.
Mm.
Education is way more than that. It's about learning and increasing your wisdom and your knowledge. So that takes place at home. That takes place outside. That takes place. It's all on you. And a lot of people think that education is all about school. You can only get it in school. And I need people to be not mindful of that. You can read a book. You can pick up a book. You can learn from watching other people mess up. A matter of fact, watch people learn from other people's mistakes as opposed to making their own. So just be mindful of that. The word education there's no school or university in the definition. So be mindful of that and make sure you are being educated however you can. And I absolutely love you all, and I love the energy that I get from you all, and you all help me grow because in teaching, there's learning. So you all pose those questions or make me think myself that makes me give my responses. So I get thoughts of the days from this show, so I appreciate y'all.
Time's going short, brother Daryl.
Look, like I said, time is, as we almost at the witching hour. I just want to say, Hans, man, you made my day. Hey,
yeah.
Positive on deck. Eddie, I've been reached out to Eddie. Eddie's been in the Congo, in the woods, in West Virginia. Where is this cat? I mean, like, literally. I'm going through my Edward L. Fairley withdrawal. So, you know,
yeah, that's why we got 30 seconds, bro. You got 30 seconds.
You know, Sig, I love you. Missed you. Nas, we've been kicking it the entire time, making sure that we get everything straight. This second season is going to be amazing. So just everybody stay tuned, because now it's time for us to get the work in. That's all I got for tonight.
Good night,
that's
guys.
It. That's all. And hey, listen, good night, everybody. Love everybody. We're coming back. We'll see y'all later. See you next week. Peace up. Love, always.
Love you guys.
Play that.